Let's turn in our hymnals, number 205 at this time. 205, we're going to sing He Keeps Me Singing, one of my favorite songs. We've got a lot of songs here I like this morning. He Keeps Me Singing, number 205. Let's everyone stand as we sing, please. We'll sing on the first, second. Well, we'll just start down through there and see how good we do, okay? All right, it's a good song.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Hear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of my ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. By sin and strife, His heart filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred their slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, singing as I go.
On the fourth, though sometimes
trials fall across the way, though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Soon He's coming back to welcome me, watering over starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. right. You may be seated this morning, Larry, and Lauren's going to bring a special for you.
Well, I shouldn't even be trying to sing with my voice the way it is. Probably sound like a calf that his tail caught in the fence. Or worse. But Easter's coming up, not too distant future, so this song should be appropriate. There's a story so unkind in the Holy Book we find, and it tells how Jesus stood alone one day. False accused their condemned, yet they found the fault within. A man wore his garment, purple robe, my Savior wore. Oh, the shame for being poor, as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And they placed upon his head piercing thorns of bloodstained red. His raiment was a scarlet, purple robe.
Thank you, Brother Larry, Lauren, good song. Thank you for singing for us this morning. Greatly appreciated. Great song. All right, Junior Church may be dismissed at this time. Now, next Sunday, a week from today, will be our Mission Sunday. Hope you're going to be here. We got a great day planned. We have four missionaries that will be here. And each one of them will set four tables up out here. They'll set their displays up. And we'll begin at 10 o'clock. Sorry, Frosty, you won't be teaching next Sunday. But we want to put an emphasis on missions. We're coming up to the end of our fiscal year, and we will be beginning our new fiscal year 1st of April. And in our budget, we have allocated that we can take on two new missionaries. And so out of the four that will be here next Sunday, we will be choosing two of them in the upcoming weeks to be added to our church family. And I know them all personally. I don't know the one pastor up in Mount Vernon well, Bill Fresnel. He pastored a Independent Baptist Church in Mount Vernon. I don't know which one, but he resigned a couple years ago, and he is in some type of ministry of Bible translation. Then we've got a young man that's got a ministry in India. He's got four Bible colleges in India. He's been to the Philippines, and he has been to Romania and taught for me. He has a man in Alabama that they are in a ministry together. Now, here's what their mission, I'm going to prepare you. This could only come out of Alabama. The name of their mission is Ain't God Good Ministries. I'm serious. That's the name of their ministries. Ain't God Good Ministry. You'll love him. He's from Wheeling, out of Metropolitan Baptist Church in Wheeling. Meyer family, a tremendous godly family. And so he'll be here. He just got engaged. I invited him to bring his fiance along. And then we have the retired pastor from up, former pastor from up Mount Vernon. And then we have a young lady from the Bible College of Marietta. She will be here. She is another Princess Diane. Got a big heart. She is so artistic. She'll be drawing. She'll be drawing for us next week some of her skills that she'll be using in the ministry. And then I had a young couple just to come to fill in because I had one family I had scheduled went back. They had an opportunity to go back to the field, and they left. They were supposed to be here next Sunday. And I told them, if you got an opportunity to go back, you can catch a flight. I don't blame you. Then another one I had to cancel due to some things that I weren't real happy about until I get better informed concerning him. So anyway, we got four missionary families that will be here next Sunday, and then we'll start at 10 o'clock, and each missionary will take part, and then we'll break for lunch at noon, and Crino's Pizza is going to be bringing us in the pizzas. Our ladies are going to bring in salads and desserts just for an hour, 12 to 1. And then we're going to come right back at 1 o'clock, and then all four missionaries are going to participate again for a couple hours on Sunday afternoon. Now, there'll be no evening service next week, but I want you to become familiar with these missionaries. Talk to them. And we're going to just let the Lord guide us. These missionaries are wanting to know this and that. And I just tell them, you show up. And the Holy Spirit will take us through the day. And let the Holy Spirit lead. So anyway, we're looking for a great day. Please come. Please be here. Bring some visitors with you next Sunday. It's time to get over the fear of society, and it's time to start getting out and about and serving the Lord and so forth. So hope you'll be here. Hope you're praying for it, and we're really looking forward to a great time next week. All right. Then we'll have, of course, our missions budget meeting with the deacons and trustees to select two of these missionaries, then present them in April. Our budget meeting, and I meant to get this in the bulletin, and I didn't, will be on the second Wednesday night of April. Second Wednesday night of April. I'm not sure exactly what date that is, but it'll be on the second Wednesday night of April will be our budget meeting, our annual budget, mission and church budget meeting on the second Wednesday night. We'll get that in the bulletin next Sunday. Now, my head's in a fog this morning. My inner ear is messing up, I think a lot due to sinuses and whatever. But when I'm in that and that my inner ear is flared up, causes me to be dizzy, causes me to be weak, and it causes me to have a lack of memory. It causes me not to be able to think. You say you have to have that to explain that away? No. I have that problem anyway. I'm going to get with Frosty and see what he's taking to help his memory because it's not working. That's supposed to be funny, Frosty. So I want to stay away from it, whatever you're taking. All right. So today we finish our fourth message from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we've not exhausted it. We could spend another 2 months in this one chapter. We saw the explanation of faith in the first three verses. Then we saw the examples of faith beginning in verse 4. All the way over through verse 37. And then we saw the exonerated faith, faith being exonerated in verse 38 and 39. And we'll close with that exoneration this morning. Last week we looked at the faith of Abraham. Now, with each one of these, we have given an identity of that faith. With Abel, we saw a faith of worship. He offered unto God a faith of worship. With Enoch, and as we looked at the Old Testament and put it with the present, it was a walk of faith. Enoch walked with God. And then we saw Noah. Noah worked. He preached. He built. And so we called his a walking faith, or faith of walk. Abraham, we saw basically, he waited. He waited on an inheritance of the land. He waited on the city that he looked for. And he waited for the son that was promised. 25 years he waited for the son. Now, we saw all of that last week in Abraham's waiting faith. Sometimes God just says, wait, wait. Waiting is not a lack of fulfilling. Waiting is not a lack of fulfilling. Nor does it indicate that the promise won't be fulfilled. Now, after Abraham, of course, you have Sarah. We mentioned her briefly last week. And we also saw the rest of the patriarchs. We see Isaac. And we see Jacob. Then we see Joseph. And we could make a message on each one of those. But our character today is in verse 23. And he takes us from verse 23 over through verse 29. Now, after that, you find verse 30, the walls coming down. That's the ministry of Joshua. Then you find the product of the walls coming down in verse 31. That's Rahab. And then you have several mentioned in verse 32. Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, many others of Old Testament characters that the Holy Spirit of God reached back and brought up in the writing of faith and used them as examples. Now, of course, they lived a full life. So the one area that the Holy Spirit chose to show us their faith by way of example doesn't mean that everything is just in that. That's just one area the Holy Spirit wanted to teach us about the person's life. I'm having an awful time with my sinuses, and it's draining down my throat. And my throat is sore from the drainage. So bear with me this morning as I wipe my nose and cough and whatever else has to happen. Now, so we're going to look at Moses today. Moses in verse 23. We are going to title his faith a willing faith. And we're going to apply it to the present day. Frosty taught this morning about application. I've been teaching that on Wednesday nights. It does us of very little value to know if we don't know what to do with it, if we don't know how to apply it, or if we refuse to apply it. Application. And so this morning we're going to look a little bit about the application of willing faith. Faith that has to will. Will. God don't force. God don't force. He simply teaches, and we're left with the choice. If you remember last week, it said when God called Abraham, he obeyed. That's willingly. That's willingly. And we see this willing faith again in verse 23 in the life of Moses. So the worshiping faith, or the faith of worship in Abel, the walking faith of Enoch, the work projected by Noah, a working faith, and you find in Abraham a waiting faith, faith that waits. And now Moses in the willing faith. We're going to read the verses concerning Moses, beginning in verse 23 and down through verse 29. Speaks of his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. It means he was normal. He wasn't defected in any way. He wasn't born with defects. And they were not afraid. A willing faith can't be afraid. A willing faith does not have fear. And we're going to zero in on that here in just a moment. A willing faith always obeys. It's not afraid. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What is he referring to? Well, the children of Israel, if you went back to Exodus chapter 1, you'd find that the children of Israel had multiplied greatly. They ended up down there as Joseph was sold into slavery. Then eventually all of his family moved down there. Jacob and Joseph's siblings all moved into Egypt, and they were there 430 years. just like God told Abraham. Just like God told Abraham would happen. And they were there and they multiplied greatly. And the Egyptians said, they become more than we. And if we fall into some war or battle, they will side with our enemies and they'll defeat. So therefore, let us make them slaves and let them do our building for us. And so that's what they made them. They made their life miserable. And that continued on. But the more they tried to stifle the growth of Israel, the more they grew. So Pharaoh passed a law that every man-child of the Jews was to be put to death. Every male child was to be put to death. So Moses was born under a death threat. But his parents weren't afraid. He was born under a death threat because the high law of the land was, if it's a male, he dies. That's it. If he's a male, he dies. And so Moses was born under a death threat. But his parents were not afraid of the king. That says a lot. That says a lot. And children learn from their parents. So they were not afraid of the king's commandment, which was kill every male child. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. That's called disobedience. Refused. That's called disobedience. So his parents, they weren't afraid, and they refused the high court's law. I said, this baby will live. And when Moses came to years, he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, whenever Moses was born, they took him and made a little ark for him. Put pitch on it, like tar. And they put him in it, like a cradle, and they set it out on the Nile River. And Miriam stood in the bushes and watched to see what would become of him. Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to wash, and the Bible says in Exodus, behold, the babe wept. And Moses' sister, standing in the shadows, was not very old. She would have only been maybe 5. Aaron was 3 years older. Aaron was 3 years older. So Miriam maybe 5 years older. So she wasn't a very old girl. And she stood and watched what would happen to the baby that they placed on the Nile. And when Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash, the babe wept. It says Pharaoh's daughter saw the babe. They fetched it up out of there. It says Pharaoh's daughter had compassion. Her father had put a death threat on that baby. But the daughter of Pharaoh said, it will live. I have compassion. I heard a message one day. A baby's weep that changed the world. A baby's weep that changed the world. What God can do. Now, she went down and she evidently knew Pharaoh's daughter, because she said, "I'll fetch the baby for you." And Mary, and this is all back in the book of Exodus, and she went down and got the babe and brought it up onto the bank. And here's what Miriam said. Here's what Miriam said to Pharaoh's daughter. Young girl, 5 years of age, said, "Should I go find someone to nurse the baby for you until it become of age?" Smart little girl. She said, "Yes, that sounds like a good idea." So Miriam went home and got her mother. And the baby is protected and stayed in the home under the care of Pharaoh's daughter against the law of Pharaoh. Now, I want to tell you, when God puts things together, He can put things together. Amen? They were not afraid. And God protected the child from the time it was born. And worked it out to where the babe not only was permitted to live, but was placed right back in the arms of the mother and protected by Pharaoh's daughter. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. And then when Moses became of years, he said, "I've had enough of you." She raised him. He's now 40 years old. And she raised him as her own. But he said, "I am tired of you. I'm tired of Egypt." So he refused. And listen, Moses could have been in line to be ruler and king over Egypt, even though he was not actually an Egyptian. But he could have been in line because he was Pharaoh's daughter. Now, he refused. He said, "I'm not going to be your daughter anymore." Verse 25, choosing. There's willing faith. A willing faith. He saw it and was told it. How did I end up here? We don't know the details, but Moses knew he was an Egyptian, and Moses knew that he was a Hebrew, and he belonged to those people out there that were greatly suffering. And I'm one of them. And he's living in royalty. He's living in Pharaoh's house. He's living in plush life. But he says, "I'm not and do not want this anymore. My faith is going to make a choice. And here's going to be my choice." In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm in the wrong crowd. I'm in the wrong family. I'm in the wrong arena. I don't belong here. I belong with them out there. There's a lot of God's people that need to wake up to that fact in this day in which we live. I don't belong in this world. I don't belong to this people. I am a child of God. My home is in heaven. And I'd rather choose to suffer with the people of God. And we are going, in time to come, if the rapture doesn't take place, or the Lord don't take us physically, you and I will see the day where we're going to have our faith make a choice. Some of the things that's being passed and laws that's being passed, and if we are going to be obedient to the Word of God, we're going to have to make a choice. Are we going to suffer with the people of God? choosing. That's willing faith. Nobody forced him. And he could have lived the rest of his life in Pharaoh's home and no doubt would have been a successor to the throne and be known as Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know what she told her dad. I got a lot of questions when I get to heaven. What'd you tell your dad? Where'd you tell your dad you got that baby from? Because Pharaoh would have killed it. It was his law. Pharaoh would have killed it. Where'd you get that baby from? It's my baby. Where'd you get it from? I'd love to hear that discussion. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice it says, this is seasonable. Now, do we want suffering or do we want seasonable? Do we want to live a life of suffering or do we want to live a life that's seasonable? We're about to move into spring. Hallelujah. I love the springtime when things get green after coming out of deadness and darkness of winter. And leaves start coming out and grass starts getting green and there's a sign of life. I love the springtime. One of my favorite times of the year. Now, he decided, he chose. That's a willing faith. Nobody forced him. Nobody forced him. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This pleasure is seasonable. Seasonable. It's not continual. It's temporal. It's not seasonable. It's not eternal. It's seasonable. Verse 26, esteeming the approach of Christ, Moses in the book of Exodus considered the reproach of Christ. I don't know whether some of these Bible teachers and denominations ever read the Bible or not. There's a mention of Christ in the life of Moses all the way back in Exodus. There it is. Right there it is. And Moses even told the children of Israel, there's a day coming that the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like unto me. He knew he was coming. And spoke about him. And knew that all those laws and that ceremonial system, they were all temporal with pictures of the eternal and the future coming of the Lamb of God. The reproach of Christ. They were suffering for Christ. They were known as the people of God, the nation of Israel. Esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of heaven, or the treasures of Egypt, Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now there's a message. There's a message. The treasures of the world or the treasures of Christ, we have to choose. This is called willing faith. Willing faith. The willful faith to deny myself of many things that maybe I could have. But if I did, I'd have to turn my back on the riches of Christ. And Moses chose, I'll stay with the people of God. I'll suffer. And he went from the royal home of Pharaoh to the wilderness. He made that choice willfully. He went from the royal home and being under the known daughter of Pharaoh, probably next in line. He went from that royalty into the wilderness. There's many characters in the Bible that would fit right in here. Nehemiah is not mentioned in the chapter. Ezra is not mentioned in the chapter. Esther is not mentioned in the chapter. Mordecai is not mentioned in the chapter. And yet all of these people that I just mentioned suffered greatly. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. That's a willing faith. If I perish, I perish. That's a willing faith. Nehemiah, living in Shushan the palace, serving the king every day, living in royalty and plush life. And when he heard what the homeland was like, when he heard what his country was like, when he heard the suffering of what's going on, he sat down and wept and prayed certain days. And then when the time came right, he said, King, I want to leave here and I want to go over there. And what did he arrive to? Rubbish. Rubbish. Burnt stones. Said the rubbish was so great. They had to remove all that stuff before they could ever start building. And the people were few. He left. He left the palace to go to the rubbish. That is a willing faith. Nobody forced him. Nobody begged him. Nobody pushed him. Simply was told him and instructed him as to his question about what's going on over there. And when he heard it, it broke his heart. And he said, I'm not going to live here in this royalty. I'm going over. See if I can do something. When David wanted to cover up his sin, and he called Uriah the Hittite, come on in from the battle. Give me a report of the battle. He did. And then David said, go on home, wash your feet, enjoy some time with your wife. And he sent behind him a whole mess of food. Uriah said, I'm not going down there with my wife. How can I enjoy a nice place at home when Joab and the armies are out there on the front line fighting in the battle and I'm laying at home? I can't do that. And he laid on the floor outside the door all night long. He couldn't have went to that home. God wouldn't have allowed him to go to that home. You're not going to cover it up that easy, David. But I like what... And he is a proselyte. He's a Hittite. He's not a Jew. He's a Hittite. And he came by proselyte. He came. And I want to be a Jew. And out there on the front line fighting the Hebrew battles. And David said, call him in here. I'm going to have a great cover up. He's going to go down and spend the night with his wife. He said, I can't do that. Well, my servant Joab is out there on the battle. All the armies of Israel out there on the battlefield. I can't do that. Let me go home and enjoy. No, that's a willing face. Who chose? Who chose his own death? The next last day, David wrote a letter. Put Uriah in the hottest of the battle. When he gets there to the hottest of the battle, then run away from him and leave him there by himself that he died. David! David did that! And I will say in that period of time, Uriah the Hittite had more character than David did. He chose. Faith that chooses is a willing faith. A willing faith. And Moses willed. He willed to be with the people of God. There's a lot of people today that claim Christianity. They got no will to be with God's people. They got no will, no desire to be with God's people or identify with God's people. They don't want to identify with them. Now, in verse 27, he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Not fearing. Isn't that what it said up in verse 23? Boy, when traits of the parents show up in the children, that's a wonderful thing. And Moses' parents never lived in Pharaoh's house. They never saw the plushness and the royalty and all the greatness of it. They just said, we're not going to fear what your law says. We're not going to fear what your law says. Because we have a higher power. And we're not going to fear you. And now, verse 27, he forsook Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. Boy, when traits of the parents shows up in the children, and when Moses' parents displayed that willing faith, Moses was just a babe, just born. He didn't experience it. He didn't see it. Aaron would have not been old enough to understand it. Miriam would have. But Aaron would have only been 3 years old. I love that statement. Not fearing the wrath of the king. And the king was mad because they found out Moses slew an Egyptian. And Moses is your daughter's son. And you know who he really is? He's one of those Hebrews that you're trying to suppress. And right under your nose, he was permitted to live 40 years ago. Right under your nose, and your daughter knew it. And Moses said, I'm not afraid of your wrath, and I'm not afraid of your laws. And I don't want to stay here in Egypt. I've got no desire to be called your grandson. I've got no desire to be called your daughter's son. I've got no desire for Egypt. I've got no desire to be here or the plushness or the royalty of it. Bye, I'm leaving. And he went into the wilderness and was there another 40 years. Faith will carry you where your flesh don't want to go. Now listen very carefully. Your faith will carry you where your flesh doesn't want to go. Your faith will take you away from what your flesh loves to enjoy. Your faith will display things that your flesh doesn't like. A willing faith A willing faith. A willing faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw him that's invisible. You ever do that? I saw him that's invisible. I saw him that was invisible. That was at the end of the next 40 years at the burning bush, the consuming fire. Verse 28 and 29, he kept the Passover and took the children of Israel across the Red Sea, delivered them. That was his mission. That was his journey. And we're running out of time because I want to go back and deal with three words. Not afraid, refused, and forsook. Not afraid in verse 23, refused in verse 24, which leads you to forsake in verse 27. And in the midst of that, you have the first word of verse 25, choosing. Every day of your life and every day of my life, we have to make decisions. We have to make decisions. You have to make choices. And you remember this. They are at free will. They are at free will. God gave every one of us a will. A will. And it is to be surrendered, my will, to God's will. As Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will. He was our place. He was our substitute. Not my will be done, but thine be done. And when he prayed and taught him to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. And God's will is to be fulfilled in my life every day as a born-again child of God, known as the people of God. God's will is to be fulfilled every day in my life. And it's my faith and your faith that must make sure that God's will is fulfilled. And that takes a willing faith, not a willing flesh. I know my flesh wills. No doubt. Absolutely not a doubt that my flesh has a will. And it is strong. And it is dominant. And it's quite persuasive. That's why we have to have a willing faith that overcomes our willing flesh. Because the willing flesh will event you and it's seasonable and it'll lead to disaster. Living under laws. I taught Romans chapter 13. We are to submit to the laws of man. We are to support the people of administration. Taxes, where to pay them? Render unto Caesar the things of Caesar and unto God the things that's God's. And we're to support them. And the servants that are under are to be obedient to God above and fulfill what they've been called to do according to God's purpose and program. I would not necessarily have called Nebuchadnezzar God's servant. But God called Nebuchadnezzar my servant. My servant. He's my servant. And before God was done with Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar learned there's a higher power up there. There's a higher power up there. Living under laws. And we are to abide by submission to the laws of the land. And we are to support. And those that serve in those capacities are to be answerable to the deity that established and put them there. For the betterment of the people. But when man comes along and passes a law and says, every male child will die, then the people of God has to have a willing faith and say, my child will not die. The law of the land says it will die. The child of God says it will not die. And that's willing faith. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. And I have said often, and I say again this morning, we are to be obedient to the laws of the land. We're not a free agent to just roam about and do as we please, when we please, whatever we please. We live under our laws. We live in a land of laws. Society, civilized society, has a land of laws. But if their laws force me to violate this book, I am always answerable to the higher power. And there is a prime example of it. They feared not the king's command. And if the king's command would have been fulfilled, Moses would have been slain and butchered and killed. And never given an opportunity. Pharaoh felt, I can keep this growing nation, this growing people, I can keep them somewhat and stifle them somewhat if I just kill all the male children. And he did. Just like butchering Herod did in the days of Christ. Did you know, Herod, there's a king born this night in the city of Bethlehem? Did you know there's a king born? Herod feeling insecure, unstable, a child born, and he's a king. So he went out and killed every baby 2 years old and younger. Herod did that. You want to meet these kind of people? Would you like to meet a Pharaoh? Would you like to meet a Herod? Would you like to meet a butchering Nazi named Hitler? Got no value of life. Absolutely no value of human life. And I could go on and on and on. They got no respect for humanity. And I bring this message this morning to say this. You have a faith that you declare. And your faith has to be willing to obey Him. He don't force you. But your faith must obey Him. And we must follow the example that's given here as Moses' parents when the child was a babe and Moses himself when he came to years of age. He didn't fear the wrath of the king either and went into the wilderness and lived. And walked off and left all that behind. Walked off and left all that plush, all that royalty, all that power, all that could have been his in the future, to live in the wilderness. Faith will take you where your flesh don't want to go. Faith will take, if it's a willing faith, and if it's a faith that is ingrained within your soul that comes from the Word of God, biblically, scripturally based in your heart from God and the Holy Spirit, that faith will take you where your flesh doesn't want to go. Your faith will cause you to say and to do, act and react in a way that your flesh doesn't want. And my friends, in these latter days, our faith will be called upon to be put on display. Get ready for it. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the end time. And when God calls upon you, and God calls upon me, God calls upon our ministry, however it may be, collectively or individually, our faith will be put on display. And when they burnt the people at the stake back in the Reformation days, they burned them at the stake. They had a will. They had a will. They had a will. And their faith willingly took the stake. Three Hebrew children living over in the land of Babylon. Hadn't done anything wrong. Lost their homeland in a strange land. And all of a sudden, this arrogant man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar built a statue. I sat here on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago. Pride is a disease. Pride is a disease that makes everybody sick except the one that's got it. And that arrogant man built that big 90-foot statue. Then he brought in all the musical instruments and all the musicians. And they played that, it wouldn't match what wildness you hear today. This is worse today than it would have been back then. And people like to hear it. They drive past with our car in front of our house sometimes, and the windows shake and rattle. The ground vibrates. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true that you said you will not bow to my image?" "It's true, O king. We will not bow to your image. There's only one decree for you. You either bow or you burn." Now their faith is going to have to choose. Their faith is going to have to be willing either to bow in disobedience or to burn in obedience to God. Your faith will take you where your flesh doesn't want to go. Your faith will take you to places you don't want to go. Your faith will put you in a places where it is terrible. Your faith will do and act and react the way your flesh would not do. And the king rose up and said, "Are you going to bow?" And the boy said, "No, out of all due respect." Heat that oven 7 times hotter than what it is before and threw them in. That's willing. That's a willful faith. They could have got out of it. All they had to do is go and get down on their face and their knees in front of that image. That's all they had to do. I'm going to leave you with this. I could preach on to probably this evening at 6 o'clock and then pick up again. They could have, but they didn't. They could have said, "We'll bow." I would rather be in the fire and let Jesus be seen in my life than over submitting to the laws of corrupt man and not seeing Christ. Nebuchadnezzar. Give my bifocals. Did we not put three in there? Yep, we put three in there. I see four. We put three in, and I see four. And I don't know if he knew what was coming out of his mouth or not, but he said, "And the fourth is made like unto the Son of God." I'd rather be in the fire and have God identify and seen through my life in victory and down on my knees bowing to a rebel government that's full of pride, arrogancy, and passing laws. And I could go on and on and on. My friend, you've got a willing faith. And it either will or it will not obey God. And you have to make the choice. God don't force you. You have to make the choice. You have to make the choice. And as time goes on, and we get closer to the return of Christ, my friend, you're going to see this more and more and more. It's coming. Like a flood and like a fire. A willing faith. A willful faith. Knowing that that willful faith is going to cause me, God only knows what. Worst thing that any man can do is put you in the presence of Jesus. That's the worst. If you are a child of God in faith, the worst that any man can do to you is to put you in the presence of Christ. That's it. I don't know how many people have told me this past week, in different places, in different times, I'm ready to leave this world. I'm ready to leave it. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready. I'm ready. What's coming is not pretty. Because we know it's going to get worse and worse and worse. The faith that worships is only one way. And Abel chose it. The faith that walks, and there's only one, and Enoch chose it. A faith that works, and Noah chose it. A faith that waits, Abraham chose it. And a faith that wills, and Moses chose it. And all these people had failures. They all had failures. But not one of them is mentioned. Just their victorious faith. Amen? Amen. Now, next week will be our Mission Sunday. And I'm going to take the Sunday off and sit and enjoy and hear some good preaching. We've got some good preachers coming in. These boys can preach. And so, and especially the girls. Boy, they do a great job preaching. Okay. All right. Boy, you people are dry this morning. Did you eat prunes before you came to church? Joy of the Lord is our strength. Time to get the joy and be glad that we went to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't get conquered. Don't get conquered through all of the troubles of this world. Don't get conquered. Your faith will carry you through. Amen. All right. I'll be up on the front here if anybody needs to talk with me again. And appreciate you being out. Beautiful weather. And we've got a beautiful week coming. Up in the 60s. I'll take it. I'll take it. All right. Let's see. Frosty, you just missed it in prayer, would you? Shall we stand?